Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Dave Hartney is joining us on the Country Confidential Podcast this week, and we were just laughing and saying how you love to cross the country and visit radio stations. And I remember when you came and played for us, and it's not that this is the most important thing that happened when you came, Dave Hartney, but you bought some killer donuts. I remember you came in with donuts, and the whole staff after was like, hey, did you bring donuts, Shiloh? And I may have possibly took a little credit at the beginning for them.
No, that's fine. You know, it's funny. I remember a lot of things about that radio tour and coming to the station and hanging out with you. And I remember taping a little episode and jamming in your control room. But I totally forgotten about the donuts. So yeah. I'm glad that worked out.
Dude, it's food. I remember it. You were saying now you may have to come to people's houses because a lot of us are still working from home and our buildings aren't open. But that's okay.
Well, exactly. I'm actually got, it's looking sort of positive. I might come out and play one of the fairs in Nova Scotia. So I might be in the neighborhood this summer and, you know, won't be that far to come Uber eat some donuts out to the station.
Buddy,
you guys
I'm in.
That out there.
I'm in. You're playing a lot of festivals this year, right?
Yeah. So it's been really cool. A lot of the ones that I've been sort of telling people I had sort of the summer of my life booked, you know, for COVID. I had just about every, you know, major one that they have out sort of in Western Canada. And it was a really, you know, when you're coming up as an artist, you're used to hearing no's. And finally, it was like all yeses. And then everything got canceled, obviously. And so I've got about 50% of the ones that I had booked then. Some of the events either aren't happening. But it's just really nice to have these events to look forward to and come back and play. And like I said, I must have done something right. I've gotten some messages. I'm based in Vancouver for your listeners. And yeah, I got contacted by one of the major fairs in Nova Scotia there. And so, you know, it's very difficult and expensive to get bands out in our country, as everyone knows with the airfares are like. So just the cost of travel is so prohibitive. But it's, you know, it's all coming back, and it's just nice to have, you know, full band stuff to look forward to in crowds again. That's sort of why I put music out and why I go around, you know, begging people like yourselves to get my songs on radio so people know it, so I can play, you know, play these events. That's kind of, you know, I grew up just I was telling you off air, to kind of doing the Aaron Burchett thing and playing in bars. And that's, you know, I just love playing live. So it's nice to have that stuff to look forward to now.
A couple things I want to ask you about live. So these big festivals, obviously, the headliners are some of your biggest, your favorite country artists that are headlining these. Do you ever get to meet any of the big headliners that you open up for? And if you do, what's the most memorable behind-the-scenes festival thing that ever happened to you?
So the answer is yes. 2019, I was opening up for like directly for Brett Young, and so that was cool. So when he went on after me, it was just sort of standing side stage. We were just having a little chat about his tour, and then they called his name, and literally like we did a fist bump, and he walked out and played at this killer set. That was pretty cool. But I think the two most memorable ones actually happened on the same day. I think it was me and then Aaron, and then Dierks Bentley and Vince Gill, and Dierks was, I was having a beer with Dierks, and I was trying to, you know, trying to be cool, and I didn't want to like take up too much of his time. So I let him, I just said, hey man, thanks for the chat. Really appreciate it. And I know you got other people to talk to. So he went and chatted with a group of girls who were backstage, and they were just all over him. Like they were smothering him, and he was kind of looking around for to get saved, and he made eye contact with me, and he's like, oh, I got to go talk to my buddy over there. He came back over and sort of like encircled. And like, I was like, I saved Dierks Bentley from being harassed. So that was kind of cool. And then that same night, Vince Gill was walking off stage, and I basically put a guitar in his hand and said, Vince, will you sign this? And, so he just played a great set, and I was watching it from side stage, and it was not a very expensive guitar, but it was sort of made to look beat up and old. And he looked at it like it was, you know, he's like, well, you know, how old is this guitar? I can't sign this. And he didn't want to wreck it.
No.
Which I appreciated as a musician. You know, Vince Gill is a, you know, obviously huge guitar, you know, icon for me. And if you've ever seen his YouTube videos of like his home studio, he's just got hundreds of guitars. And so he didn't want to sign it, but I let him know, I reassured him that it was just sort of like a cheaper model that was sort of dinged up and made to look old. And I just wanted to put it on my wall at home. And so he signed it for me. And, yeah, I'm looking at it right here in my little home studio. It's on the wall. So he signed it right in the wood. And so I always joke, you know, you have these experiences where you're getting to open for, you know, like you said, your idols. And, you know, as an up and coming artist, next week you're playing in a little pub for two, three people on acoustic set. So it's, those are the challenges of, you know, being a unsigned Canadian artist.
I often get to meet some of the artists and whatever as I MC stuff. And Vince Gill has always been great. I've MC'd a few of his shows, and he's always that guy who's hanging out backstage, and it's almost like he's bored and he wants someone to chat with. Like, you'll kind of walk by where he is and he's like, "Hey, man." And, you know, you come over and you chat. He's also a guy, and if you were assigned stage, maybe you saw this, he is incredibly focused. And so when we were up on going to MC, they made it very clear. You go on one side, you MC, you go off the other side. And if you get it wrong, Vince Gill is going to kill you, because he has his game face on and he comes out with his guitar and he just charges out on the stage. And we got it wrong. And all of a sudden we're walking, it's dark. And all of a sudden Vince Gill comes at us with his guitar and we're like, "Oh my God," like, he is so intense. I don't even think he knew we were there. He just has his game face, like concert face on. I don't know.
So did you get, what was the repercussions? Did his management give you a hard time?
We just walked off and they said, "You came off the wrong side. How close was it?" And we're like, "Inches." And like, we told you, like, literally it's dark and he comes charging out on the stage and we missed him by just that much. It was a little crazy.
That sounds like him. You know, that day that I was talking about was a festival. It was a Marymount Music Festival, which is now called Rockin' River. And it was a date in August, but it's in the mountains. It actually snowed, if you can believe it, in August in BC, which normally doesn't happen. It's normally a super warm festival. But it was just this cold snap, and his whole band came out in jackets. Vince Gill was wearing a parka in August. I think he was a little annoyed at the weather, but, you know, total professional, played a great show. And, I had, my aunt found out I was, one of the openers for Vince Gill. She just begged me to come. So it was really cool. Cause I got her.
Makes you wonder why they brought parkas though. Like, is it just a Canadian stereotype? Listen, we're going to Canada. Better bring some parkas in August.
You know, I think the festival actually got it for the guys, because they didn't look like they fit or they weren't stylish. They were kind of just kind of like ugly things. And I think the festival had to scramble to make it happen. So those are the, you know, whether it's hailstorms or rain or all the crazy stuff that happens in festivals, you got to be ready for it.
Got to get her done. You have a great festival tune out. It's going to be the song of the summer that people are going to hear all across the country. Tell us about your new single.
Well, thanks, man. I'm really, really excited about this. The song's called Jeep Thrills, and I work with two producers out here in Vancouver, Dan Swimrunner, who is awesome, and discovered and developed JoJo Mason and Madeline Merlot, and then Jeff Johnson, who's, you know, a decorated guy and recorded with a bunch of names you know. Anyways, he's in a little town called Coldstream, BC, near Vernon. His wife actually came into the kitchen one day and said, "Why don't you do a Jeep song? It's all these truck songs." She's like, and she just said the line, let's go riding in my Jeep, Jeep, Jeep. And she just sort of said it as a joke. And then Jeff and two guys that I know really well, one of my buddies, I used to have a band with, Dave Boris and Brad Saunders, who's a Calgary artist. They did a write and wrote this song. And so I was aware of the song, and I always loved the tune. And I just kind of kept bugging them, like, "Can I have it? Can I have it?" So I got a song. I rewrote the second verse because these guys don't have Jeeps. They don't know about the Jeep culture, and I actually have one, which is why I wanted to do the song so bad. So I rewrote the second verse and threw in some stuff about Jeep waves and some of the Jeep culture stuff that I think will connect with anyone who's got a Jeep. And it's just a great jam. It's a great melody. It's a great vibe. It's a huge anthem. And my vocal coach, Roberta, is doing the background harmonies on it. She's out in Ontario, and she's done backups for like Celine Dion. She's on some of the big Celine Dion hits. So, and she just does a killer job. I love the way her voices blend on it. And I just think, you know, the feedback's been awesome so far. A few stations have, you know, added it like right out of the gate first week. And so, I'm, you know, you're always up against all the big names, and it's never easy to get a spot, but I'm really, I'm really hopeful about this one. I think people are going to, when they hear it, they're going to really enjoy it and, you know, add it in their playlists and hopefully request it at radio.
And you are a Jeep guy then. So, cause I've never really had a Jeep. I remember my dad had a Jeep when I was a kid, and we'd go out and get it stuck. Cause I think that's what you have to do if you have a Jeep.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
But like it really is a culture. There's clubs, like it's a big thing to have a Jeep.
I don't want to say a cult, but it's like that. It's like, so, you know, for example, if anyone doesn't know, there's a thing called the Jeep wave. So if you have a Jeep, you are basically obligated to wave at anyone else that has a Jeep. And so when all of a sudden you're not driving a Jeep vehicle, you're still like waving at other Jeeps, and they're like, what's wrong with this guy? And I have a friend who joked, he's like, where's my Honda Odyssey club? You know, it's like, but it's just such a thing, you know. And I've had two Jeeps now. The first one, I did all the customizing myself. I you know, that's what I really kind of love, is that I, learned how to like change all the parts and kind of really, really customized it. And they just make so much aftermarket stuff. You can spend a huge chunk of your your income on just on Jeep accessories, but it's super fun. You know, you can go places that you could never go. You can do things on the road when you got to lift a Jeep. One silly example. I was driving over on the island, and I was stuck in traffic, and there was a median, and it wasn't going anywhere. So I just wheeled out and jumped the curb, drove right over it like it was nothing. And there was these two teenage boys on the side of the road, and they were cheering. They thought this thing was the greatest thing ever. And you know, it's just the type of stuff you can do when you got a Jeep. You know, you can go camp and go to the mountains, hit the beach. It's awesome.
I have to ask you, so do you think, because if people don't know about Dave Hartney, he's you're a lawyer, and do you think you're the only lawyer that has a Jeep?
You know, I would say, like you, everyone's kind of doing their day job from home. But you know, I used to, I went downtown, you know, where I'm from. No, I would not say that there's a ton of other Jeeps. It's a lot of other, expensive cars.
Yeah. Jump a median with that, right? Jump a median exactly. With your Mercedes. Other lawyers, not a chance.
Not a chance. Not even close. No.
Are you still doing the day job thing? Obviously it's hard to give up.
I'm still busy, but it's actually been great for me being able to work from home, because now I can manage sort of both passions, both careers. You know, with music down, I actually got into doing a little bit of Airbnb stuff. So I got my hand in sort of a bunch of different stuff. And now that music's coming back, it's been that much more flexible, and I've taken the summer off work, so I'm kind of just doing music this summer and a bit of travel, and it's been great. So I'm still doing it until you get Jeep Throws played enough to give me that record deal, and I can be for good.
Nice. No pressure.
So we
should chat, because I'm for the very first time I'm gonna start renting my cottage out on Airbnb. Because I moved a little too far away. I've lived in it every year for the last, like every summer for the last, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years. And I'm a little too far to travel for my wife to go to work. So we're going to rent it out. And I should get some tips. We'll talk sometime.
I love chatting about it. I do a little floating home. You meet a lot of awesome people. So it's the same sort of attraction to it as music, right? It's just, I love playing shows. I love meet people. I love trying to feel, you know, just feeling that energy you can sort of transfer that into doing that.
You know, I was thinking too, just a second ago, if I, you know, start playing Jeep Thrills, and you get off your day job, people start hearing your song across the country, then you could charge more for your Airbnb. Cause not only is it an Airbnb, it's also owned by a superstar country artist who everyone knows and loves. So there you go. Good for business everywhere.
Absolutely. I'll cut you in. I definitely throw that up there as an option to book a private acoustic show. And it does happen. I've had some really awesome guests and sit out on the deck on this floating home and just jam for people and stuff like that. So,
Wow.
Yeah, like I said, one day you're playing, you were playing a little campfire thing for some guests. The next year, you know, opening for Dierks Bentley. It's just music's kind of all over.
Which
I love about it.
You doing anything for the summer that's not music? I know you're traveling a lot with that, but do you have anything planned? Maybe stepping away a little bit from all your jobs and doing something vacation like.
I've got one really cool thing that your guests will be interested in. It's taken me to this point in my life to be able to do it. And when I was in university, I had a buddy. You know, I could barely afford a flight. I went to University of Saskatchewan, and I could barely get home to Vancouver on spring break. And he went to Yacht Week, and this just sounded like the most amazing thing. And for anyone who doesn't know, Yacht Week is basically you fly to Croatia, and all these boats. These little sort of, they're called yachts, but they're just little mini boats, and you sort of get a little room on this maybe 6 or 8 person boat, but there's a bunch of them, and you kind of travel as a group to different places, and they have like parties at night. And so I've been trying to get to Yacht Week for just forever. So, you know, just going to Europe and cruising on a boat. And that's what I'm doing for myself
fantastic.
This summer. So it's gonna be,
they say Croatia is one of the coolest places to go. Like it just is. And a lot of, will there be bands playing? Cause I know there are a lot of concerts go, in the, you know, a lot of events there too. So
there's music. I have no idea if it's, you know, if it's live band or DJ, you know, I just sort of signed up. It was just one of those things. I went to the website. Yeah. And I just paid the money, and it's like, let's go do this. And then the other cool thing about that trip is my grandfather and my uncle, who snuck out of Yugoslavia and made a life for themselves here on the West Coast in Canada, and learned English from like watching Hockey Night in Canada. Their younger brother is still alive, and he's in Serbia, which is right next door. And so I'm going to, after that, go meet, I met him once here, but go stay with him and meet a bunch of relatives. So that I've never met before. So it's kind of two parts of the trip I'm looking forward to. And then the rest of the summer is just music.
Well, we can't wait to see you all the way from Nova Scotia, all the way to BC and everywhere in between. Dave Hartney will be giving us Jeep Thrills all summer. That's a great, how come no one's done that before? That's what I like.
I don't,
how did you, not that, you know, but that should have been done, listen, 30 years ago.
I 100%. And you know what? I've got two songs. I've got a really cool follow-up to this song. And, you know, the guy who's my manager, also his manager, Sean Austin, and I'm sure you're artists are familiar with, and we're chatting about the songs. And I was like, you know what? I need to get the song out right now. I know too many artists that have had a great song. You know, I know an artist friend who had a song called Alcohol You, and then Mitchell Tenpenny basically released that song.
Yeah.
It was, and you know, I had a great song pitched to me that Lady Antebellum had on hold, basically with like Cheap Seats, and you know, Dallas Smith had that song. And you can't risk someone else. No. And a Jeep, it is such an obvious thing. Someone was bound to get around to it. And I loved this version of it, this sort of interpretation of doing it. I think it's so fun. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to take the risk. I'm getting this out right now for the summer. And see what happens with it.
Well, we can't wait. Dave Hartney, thank you very much. And by the way, I was also surprised about Alcohol You Later hadn't been done. And I love that Mitchell Tenpenny song. So
it's a great song. And the sad thing is the other version is just as good, if not better. And it's just who got there first. So anyways, I really appreciate it. Shout out to your listeners out there in New Brunswick. And I love coming out that way. I hope to get out there soon. And shout out, Kat, thank you enough.
All right, we'll see you with some Boston Cream Donuts next time you come.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay, buddy. See you soon.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.